We're going to try to call him in a little bit.
I think you should.
Okay. What's your favorite celestial object?
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, you know who we have in the studio with us tonight?
Who do you have in the studio?
We have John Schroer, the top dog of the Cincinnati Planetarium. He knows everything about outer space that there ever was to know.
Wow, that's interesting.
So is there anything you want to know about? He can fill you in.
Well, that's cool. Why don't you just write down the information and then just give it to me?
We'll fax it to you.
All right, okay. That sounds good.
Well, thanks for the big hot tip. We're going to get to the bottom of this Dr. Zombie craze.
You let me know what happens.
Always do.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
There you have it. The kids at the future of rock and roll.
Hey,
love
Jim.
Dr. Zombie.
Jim, why don't you dial up Dr. Zombie and we can see what we can do about it.
He hasn't even begun to dial yet.
I know, he really should.
He really should.
So we can get to the bottom of the scandal. Find out if there's payola going down or something.
He has to be extension work.
Because you never know with this Dr. Zombie.
Do we have a sample of his work here?
We just
look, there's a zombie over there.
We might have that international dance craze
that's
sweeping the nation.
Window.
The newest sensation.
You mean that song called I Saw a Zombie Through the Window?
Yeah, I Saw a Zombie at the Window. It's featured on the new Flintstones soundtrack album.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. The kids love it. Except he's Dr. Rock Zombie or Zombie Rock or something.
Zombie.
So what's the third telescope? We got the 13-inch, the 8-inch, and then what's the third one?
The third telescope we have is another 8-inch reflector telescope. That's located out at the museum's Edge of Appalachia Preserve out in Adams County. We have day camps going on out there.
Hillbilly Zombie?
We have it out there to get people, the kids out there.
Do you let the kids look through it?
Yeah.
Yeah, extension 414, please.
What size telescope do you have, Chris?
Pass it on down.
Chris has like a 2-inch or something.
I got a 2-inch at home. Got a 12-inch too, baby.
You do not.
Uh-huh.
How many times do you hear that joke?
All the time, I bet.
More.
More than I possibly...
You hear that more than the Uranus joke? You hear the more the 12-inch joke?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. You got a 13-inch one? That's pretty impressive.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, is this Dr. Zombie?
This is Dr. Zombie. Himself.
This is the real Dr. Zombie, the one we've been hearing so much about?
This is the real man.
I've been hearing that song, I Saw a Zombie Through the Window, is climbing the charts.
Of course it is. It's getting ready to climb the charts over here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Is that where you're at tonight, is Knoxville, Tennessee?
Yeah, I told you I was over at the Gangster Suite at Knight's Inn on the outskirts of Knoxville, Tennessee, right next to Continental Joe's.
What's Continental Joe's?
This is hard country. I was wanting to tell you about that, the place I'm living at right now. Do I have an accent yet?
It's a hard country?
Yeah, the place I'm living at, Chris, is real hard country music.
Really?
But only about 30 minutes away, and when you go down to the college campus in downtown.
Knoxville was at Tennessee State University or Knoxville State University?
Can you hear me?
Oh, you sure can.
What college is in Knoxville?
Right. The place I'm hanging out. I'm holed up. Listen to me, buddy. I'm at the Gangster Suite at the Knight's Inn, right next to Continental Joe's, and this is hard country place, but when you go downtown to the campus area, the students all dress up in grunge, and they got a grunge music, grunge movement coming on at the college place, and they play all kind of stuff, they're alternative stuff, and...
What college is in Knoxville?
Right. I'm on the outskirts of Knoxville. But,
right.
I'm going to get my stuff played on the college station tomorrow. Yeah. Just
so, what is a zombie doing in hard country of the Knoxville, Tennessee?
Hey, buddy, I had to move down here for the weather.
For the weather?
You know what? How my back was?
Is it warmer weather? Where are you originally from?
Oh, buddy. The weather here is nice and warm.
Is it? Dr. Zombie, where are you originally from? Alberta, Canada?
I'm from this place, buddy. I'm from Ohio.
You're from Ohio. What part of Ohio?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you know what kind of, we had that bad winter weather.
So how's the music career going for the Dr. Zombie band?
I'm doing good. I do some recording once in a while. But like I said, you know, it's kind of strange. The place that I live at right now is like hard country.
Uh-huh.
And the college campus is all grunge. They dress in grunge.
Hey, what college is down there?
Austin, University of Tennessee.
Okay, right.
Do I have an accent yet?
All them volunteers.
Working on it.
Yeah.
Working on it.
But I play my stuff to the people down where I live, and they kind of look at me strange, like I'm Satan or something, because they never heard that kind of stuff.
Why? It's but not the, country, is it?
The college place is like all grunge movement, and I have to do a DJ show with... I told you about... You called me up earlier, and you know that girl I told you about, Lisa?
Yeah.
She has a show, she calls it a Master and Servant Show. And she's a real nice girl. And I sent her a tape, and she
Are
plays
you in love
some
with her?
Stuff for Dr. Zombie.
You got a crush
she's
on her?
I'll play my stuff tomorrow.
Do you have a zombie crush?
Right. But I can't get my... But the strange thing about it is I can't get my stuff played around here because this is all hard country.
Hey, Dr. Zombie, this is what I heard. I heard that down there at the college campus,
right.
Everything's like grunge and alternative,
yeah.
But like outside the college campus, it's like a hard country type place. Is that right?
Right. And it's only about 30 minutes away. The Cotton Eye Joe's is like a hard country place.
Cotton Eye Joe's.
That's where I'm living.
Where's a good place to get breakfast in Knoxville, Tennessee?
Oh,
right.
There's some pretty good food down here.
But next time I'm tooling through Knoxville, where should I stop for breakfast?
Right.
Oh, let's see. Boy, I worked at Cracker Barrel for a while. I haven't tasted the breakfast yet.
The Cracker Barrel is a good breakfast,
Cracker
huh?
Barrel.
Okay.
But anyway, about the music, it's kind of funny, the situation. And then I'm settled in at the place where everything's hard country. And I told you about the friends that I bring over and playing my music.
All right. Well, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play that new hit single, I Saw a Zombie Through the Window.
All right.
You got any new music that's going to be released soon?
I've got some music. You know how I recorded on the 4-track?
Uh-huh.
But I don't have a stereo, so I haven't mixed it, so I can't play it over the radio.
All right, well, when you get it mixed, you make sure you send it to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show in Cincinnati.
Okay, but wait, before you guys hang up on me, let me tell you what's crazy about this place is there is some, you know how I work around this place?
Right.
The people that run this place are from India.
Wow.
And this Indian woman's starting a garden,
mm-hmm.
And I was helping her work her... you know, place out and stuff, and I went back to my motel room, and I caught some maids snooping around.
That's because they probably heard you were a zombie.
They were snooping around my room, and they saw my Dr. Zombie stuff, and they looked at me like I was Satan, because they never seen or heard anything like that before.
Like Dr. Zombie?
You remember Vincent the Living Skull?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were looking at him and all this other zombie stuff around, and they couldn't believe it. They look at me like, who is this?
You've got a Vincent the Living Skull.
Yeah, but I'm in the hard country place, and less than 30
all
minutes away.
Right. All right, man, we gotta go. Let's play your song now.
All right, you guys gotta stay on the line?
Oh, sure. Hang on just a minute.
All right.
Here's Dr. Zombie with I Saw a Zombie Through the Window. Dr. Zombie, you heard it here first and probably last.
He's dating Madonna now, isn't he?
I heard. Okay, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And the phone number is...
749-1444.
And we're taking your calls, and we still have a guest in the studio. He hasn't left yet.
For only the next 15 minutes, though, so...
Got any questions about outer space, give a call. We've got John Shore from the Cincinnati Planetarium, and he had a busy day today because, I don't know. Who all came down to the planetarium today?
For the eclipse?
Yeah, you had a busy day today.
We had like 500-600 people over those 3 hours of the eclipse.
Who's that girl on Channel 9 with the big...
Who's the Miss America that now works at Channel 9?
She didn't show up.
What's her name?
I was heartbroken. I don't know.
Gretchen Carlson. Is Gretchen Carlson there?
No.
What about Denise Dorey?
What about Norma?
No, they had Brian Petra come down. And
who's that?
The weather guy for Channel 9.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Channel 5.
The latest
and they had Mike Buresh, 12.
For easy
and the new guy up 19. I can't remember.
No one cares.
You didn't get Gretchen, you didn't get Denise, or you didn't get Norma.
My dad,
you're
my about
Melissa Ross.
Nope.
And,
so anyhow, Alice, shut up.
I guess I was still 12. It was like a December.
About Radio Beat,
we had that radio show that came by.
And
talked about the eclipse and watched it.
He'd watch play by play. The moon is in front of the sun. It's still in front of the
sun. You know, when you think about that determination, that courage, that tenacity, that perseverance, that strength that Bob Dole has demonstrated every day. If we will learn and just show one half of the courage, one tenth, one drop.
Indeed, there is
of the determination and dedication
in Judas
of Bob Dole that people will know. That is what.
For the one and only Colonel Ralph Stanley. Thank you, folks. Thank you very much. I believe I told y'all yesterday that we are recording a live album from the festival here this year, and we have asked some of the artists to participate, and a lot of them, if you've heard on the stage, will be on our next album.
Appreciate the Lord this morning, and while we're making some announcements, Sister Brenda get ready to sing. And we had a pleasant surprise. Brother Grover Hensley just walked in. We're good to see him. We're glad he's with us.
But how, Nicodemus said, and Jesus said, you're a master of Israel and you don't know how? By the power of God's word and by the person of God's Son, by the persuasion of God's Holy Spirit. That's how you're born again.
Now is to open that throat and relax it.
This date, 1961.
Can you imagine a fountain of air? Can you see in your own mind a fountain of air with a ping-pong ball balancing on the top of it?
Yes.
No. You can. Oh, all right, now, think of that ping-pong ball.
Figure out how a jerk like me would have it me.
Think that if you do actually have a problem with it, which of course you do, you can put that ball very easily either in the back of your throat,
I'm
in the
too
middle
stupid
of your
to
throat,
figure out why it won't
up
work.
In front like this between your
I've
teeth.
I've never been in the college.
You understand?
I've never
that?
Even been
right,
in the
now,
eighth grade.
With that in
I
mind,
the first month in the ninth
begin
grade,
to
I
read this
the
bit of poetry
grade.
Again.
And therefore, I don't know how to use a slide rule. And every time somebody tells me something, I don't sit down and put it on the slide rule and figure out why it won't work.
Into your throat.
Every time
back,
I see
gently.
Somebody doing
don't
it, I say, you know, if that
let
guy
it fall.
Can do it, maybe I can do it.
Go.
And I immediately
I
figured out
in the
only difference between him and I is he knows something I don't know. And the only reason one man's making it to you're not or leave is because of the way they're thinking about himself.
Yeah.
Draw
cause of pain in the stomach.
Neglectful.
Now, wait a minute. It sounds as if you're working a little too hard. Is that difficult for you to do? Is that hard?
No.
All right, start. Try once again, please. Think of it. Begin and think of it. Your throat opening up and relaxing and the bowl beginning to fall back.
All right.
All right.
A sweet disorder in the dress kindles in clothes a wantonness, a lawn about the shoulders thrown
let it go back as far
into
as it can
a
go.
Fine distraction. An erring lace which here and there enthralls a crimson stomacher, a cuff neglectful and thereby ribands to confusedly.
Relax. It will always be easier. I know when you work on this, and I hope you will, that you will have a tendency from time to time to push. But don't, please. Always remember that if you do
yeah,
this correctly.
That. Yeah, so just go with it. Thanks a lot, Danielle.
Thanks, Danielle.
Right. Bye-bye. 749-1444 is the phone number here. Call up, have your dreams interpreted, and then have Duffy tell you about your life. He knows more about it than you do.
Bob.
Oh, boy. Bob, I'm sure you have some good dreams, Bob.
Yeah, guys, I've been having this weird dream lately.
Yeah?
It's really getting to me. All right, now, there's a little background to it, all right?
Oh, God.
No background. I just want to start from the beginning of the dream.
Well, in the beginning, see, what there is there's only two continents on the Earth. And one's the feminine continent, and one's the masculine continent.
What are they called?
Well, I don't know. I just know they're feminine and they're masculine.
Yeah? And where are you?
Needless to say, I'm in the masculine area.
Is that where you wanted to be?
Yes. I'm an undercover agent, see? I'm working for their special forces. And I'm there to infiltrate the feminine continent and find out secrets, see?
Okay, so wait a minute now. You're throwing me off here. You're on the masculine continent, but you're here to infiltrate the feminine continent.
I'm being sent to the feminine continent.
Okay, but you're still on the masculine continent.
At the moment, yes.
Okay. All right, so I just want to get it clear now. Who is sending you to the feminine continent?
The president of the masculine continent.
The president of the...
Who is the president?
Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno. Okay, I understand. So does he call you into his office or something to give you this information?
No, I receive a special message telling me where I gotta go.
So in the dream, you see Lou Ferrigno, like, dashing off this message or something?
No, I just received the message, but I know it's from Lou.
But you know it's from Lou. So you just intuitively knew that Lou Ferrigno was sending you the message. Okay, fine. So now, what did the message say? What kind of paper was it received on? This is all very important.
You're getting a little too detailed, pal. I can't recall.
You can't recall. Okay.
Broad strokes, baby.
So it was just, we don't do broad strokes here, bud. We're talking feminine and masculine. It's very important. It's very detailed work. Okay, so now you're going over. How are you going to travel over to the feminine side?
I can't recall how I traveled. I just got there.
Okay, so you
my
just
job.
So you just appeared there.
Yes.
Okay, so what is does the feminine side look like?
It's kind of dumpy, run down.
It's
shitty.
It's dumpy and run down and shitty.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
What's the thing?
The president of the feminine continent is Chris from the Chris and Rob show.
Oh, so Chris is...
Yeah.
So how did he get that job? Do you have any idea? Was that part of the dream?
I don't know, but he
rules the whole continent.
He rules the continent. And what is the continent peopled with?
What?
What is the continent peopled with?
It's peopled with just weird little midgets.
Male midgets or female midgets?
Well, it's like a combination of both. They got big tits, but they all got mustaches.
Wow, this is a really intense dream.
Takes me 2 years to get his confidence right, and I get in good with Chris, right?
Right. So you're on the continent, on the feminine continent, peopled by these little people with big tits and mustaches.
Yeah.
And what do you do? What is your job?
Well, I'm supposed to infiltrate. I'm supposed to get Chris's confidence and get special documents detailing the nuclear arsenal of the feminine side.
Oh, they have a nuclear arsenal, and are they planning to use this against the masculine side?
Yes, of course. Huge phallic missiles.
Son of a gun. So, okay, so how do you go about this? What's the next thing in the dream? How do you go about this?
Well, it just it jumps around a little and takes me a long time to get his confidence.
Uh-huh.
And then see, turns out I'm very attracted to him.
Is that how you get his confidence? By, you know.
Well, I see him giving me the eye once or twice, and I think, you know, well, maybe there's something there, maybe not. And one night he has a little too much vino, and he makes the move.
In the office? In the Oval Office?
No, this is in a huge plush bedroom that he has in this Kremlin-type place he lives in.
And it's very important, though, but what color is the bedroom decorated in?
The bedroom is...
Okay, so what happens here in the room?
Anyway, we get naked, right?
Right.
And I'm looking at him, and I look down, and he's got a pussy.
Son of a gun. Okay.
And it shocks me. I can't take it, and I run out of the room, and I vomit, just like in that movie, that weird movie.
Just like what movie?
That crying movie. Crying about guys who have pussies.
Oh, The Crying Game.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And I wake up in a cold sweat. And I gotta light up a huge phallic cigar.
Right there in your bedroom.
You gotta help me, Doc.
Well, come on and wake up. Come on and wake up now. It's time to shake a leg and get up. It's time for you to raise your head up. Come on and wake up. Come on and wake up, now you know it's time. Come on and, come on and, come on and, come on and, come on and wake up now. I was writing a story for you about some people in the neighborhood of make-believe. And I was thinking that a story about somebody is really that person's history. Story, history. You have a history. Sure. If you'd make up a story about your life, that story would be your own history.
Got an old slouch hat. Got my roll on my shoulder. I'm as free as the breeze, and I'll do as I please, just a bummin' around. Got a million friends, don't feel any older. I got nothing to lose, not even the blues, just a bummin' around. Whenever worries start to bother me, I grab my coat, my old slouch hat, hit the trail again, you see. I ain't got a dime.
The problem is not in your set.
Don't
please stay tuned.
I'm going. Well, I'm as free as a breeze, and I'll do as I please, just a bombing around.
Zombie.
It's Chris and Rob, late night talk show there with Dino Dean Martin singing a song about bumming around. I'm Chris Comer. And I'll be here with you for another 20 minutes. And then after that, we got The Flow with Chili G and JC. I'm sure you'll want to stay tuned for that. That sound means that tonight's program is being brought to you in part by Graceland First Vintage, the wine that you love to drink.
Rock and roll music, if you like it, and if you feel it, you can't help but move to it. That's what happens to me. I can't help it. I mean, I have to move around. I can't stand still. I've tried it, and I can't do it.
Bill, do you feel that you've been very lucky, or do you feel that you do have a talent that most of the other people you meet don't have?
Well, sir, I've been very lucky.
And I'm lucky, too. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob, and I'm wondering why Elvis didn't knock that guy's teeth right down his stinking throat.
So tell me, Rob, do you feel lucky to be my co-host right here every Tuesday night on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show?
Do you feel lucky, or do you think you do have a little modicum of talent there, Elvis?
Well, this is a serious question, Rob. You do feel lucky to be my co-host, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling lucky.
We have on the phone lines Paul Kursek. He's the CEO of, Grandview Cellars
out in California. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm great, guys.
And I understand you're about to start marketing Graceland First Vintage. It's a 1993 Cabernet Sauvignon.
That's right.
Is it smooth?
It's very smooth.
Now, let me see if I get this straight. They got a vineyard out at Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee. You pick the grapes. Elvis's grandchildren are stomping on them with their feet. You're making a bottle of wine out of it.
That's exactly right. And we keep them working all day long. And then they ship the grapes to California and we make the wine.
Why don't you just make the wine out of California grapes? Because I thought you're supposed to grow really good grapes out there.
Well, the truth is, that is what we do, guys. They are California grapes. They're not grown in Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee.
Now, can I take a guess whose picture is going to be on the bottle of Graceland First Vintage?
Take a guess.
Vernon. I say Vernon.
It's not me.
Lisa Marie?
No, not Lisa Marie.
No, there's going to be a picture of the king himself, Elvis Presley, on every bottle of Graceland First Vintage.
Absolutely, the king himself.
Now, is it going to be a young Elvis or an old Elvis? Did you have a vote like they did at the post office a few months back when they made the stamp?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to tell your listeners whether it's a young Elvis and an old Elvis. Maybe they just want to buy the wine and discover that for themselves.
How much is this wine going to sell for? Will it be more or less than the Tony Bennett wine?
Well, if I knew how much the Tony Bennett wine was, I could...
$12.95.
$12.95? It's more than.
Is it more or less than the Smothers Brothers wine?
How much is the Smothers Brothers wine?
I don't know. Who else has their own... What other celebrity has their own vintage?
Marilyn Merlot. Marilyn Monroe's wine. Marilyn Merlot.
I've seen that. That's real. And Blue Nun. How much is a bottle of Blue Nun?
Blue Nun? I'm not even sure. This wine is $22.50.
Is that a lot for a bottle of 1993 Cabernet Sauvignon?
Not a so-called premium cab, no. That's a very average price.
Okay, what is a Cabernet? What's that mean?
That's the grape. That's the grape that the wine is made from.
Is it a red grape, a green grape, or a purple grape?
This is a red grape.
Mm-hmm. Seedless?
No, actually they're not seedless. They have little tiny seeds, but when we run them through a stem crusher...
Your wine doesn't have pulp, does it?
No, no pulp, no juice. It's like my son doesn't like orange juice with pulp. This wine has no pulp.
I mean, this is going to be better than Boone's Farm. Okay, what's the Sauvignon part referred to?
That's also just part of the grape name.
Also, Cabernet Sauvignon is a big, long name for a little grape.
For a little tiny grape.
Kind of like having two names on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
That's right.
So this is a whole lot of talk show.
That's right, and it's a whole lot of wine.
So Paul Kursek of Grandview Cellars, how long have you been in the wine business?
Well, I've been in the wine business for 4.5 years, and my partner, Phil Baxter, who is the winemaker of Graceland, has been in the wine business for 25 years.
And where'd you get the idea to make a bottle of wine, a red wine at that, with a picture of Elvis on the bottle and call it Graceland First Vintage?
Well, Priscilla Presley is an old friend of mine. This is something that she was interested in doing. It's a common interest of ours, that is wines. Good wines is a common interest of ours. And about 3.5 years ago or so, we started talking about doing this. And we proposed that we would develop a wine together, and that's exactly what we did.
You know, Elvis always struck me as being more the PBR sleeping pill type.
Right. That's probably
true.
You
get some sleeping pills with every bottle you buy of Graceland First Vintage?
No. You have to go to your doctor and get a prescription.
How did you hook up with Scylla?
She's just a friend. She's a good friend.
What, I mean, did you meet her on a computer dating service or something?
Yeah, no. As many people do, we met through mutual friends.
Leslie Nielsen?
No. Yeah, that would be a good one.
The
no,
Colonel? Did you meet her through the Colonel?
Right, through, are we talking about the Colonel as in Kentucky Fried Chicken?
No, Tom Parker. Colonel Tom. When's Colonel Tom going to get his own bottle of wine? When are you going to call that?
Well, I don't know. You got a good suggestion?
I don't know. You know, he was never a U.S. citizen, Colonel Tom wasn't.
He wasn't?
No, Tom Parker wasn't his real name either.
What's his real name?
You could put, like, Elvis trivia facts on the back of your wine.
We could.
You could put, like, you know, trivia fact number one, Tom Parker.
You know, actually what we should do is when we make the 1994, every wine bottle carries a front label and a back label.
Right.
And we should ask you guys to write the back label for us.
That'd be cool.
Because the back label, that's where you kind of tell your story about the wine.
Mm-hmm.
So what we'll do is we'll send you guys a bottle of the 93 first vintage. You can try it. See what you think.
Hold on a second, Paul. Hmm? There's two of us.
Right.
So you'll send two bottles.
Can you drink two bottles between you?
We also have a producer, you know.
We could probably drink a whole case between us.
Okay.
Here's what you do.
You try the first vintage, see what you think.
Okay.
And you write a little story, and we'll put it on the back label.
Cool.
Of the second vintage.
So are you going to try to have this every year?
Yes.
And you have a 3-year lapse, I guess. So in 96, you come out with the 93 grapes. And 90.
Right. And next year, we'll come out with the 94 and so on. Right.
Do you happen to know locally where we would be able to pick up a bottle of this Graceland First Vintage 1993 Cabernet Sauvignon?
Actually, as of tonight, there is none yet in Cincinnati, but our distributor there... For Philippe Lorraine, which is our other label, that's the label that my partner has been making for the last 10 years, we distribute that through a company in Cincinnati called Metamora Imports. And they're a wholesaler. The way the wine industry works is that you have to ship to a licensed distributor. They, in turn, distribute the wine to retail stores. And then the consumer can go there and buy the wine in the retail stores. And as you have to understand, guys, this wine was just released. It is literally just going out. So I don't think as of tonight or tomorrow morning your listeners could go to a store in Cincinnati. But soon the wine should be at Metamora Imports, and then they will in turn put it in stores in Cincinnati.
What percent is it?
Alcohol?
Yeah.
12.8, I think.
Would it really knock you on your ass?
You'd have to drink a lot of it.
What kind of food should you serve with the wine?
Well, wait.
If it's with an Elvis wine, probably peanut butter and egg sandwich.
Peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Peanut butter and banana sandwich.
But you want to serve a red jam or jelly.
Really? What about spaghetti?
Spaghetti would work.
With red wine, you're supposed to eat it with drink it with Italian food.
Yeah, you know, meats, red, yeah, meats, pastas, that's normally what red wine is.
Big old steak. Now, let's suppose you had a white wine.
Pig skins.
Mm-hmm. White wine you drink with fish, right?
Typically.
Pork chops.
Right, typically. Although we tell people to just drink what they like. I mean, one of the mistakes that the wine industry has tried to do, I think, is tried to put these wines in these very specific categories and make wine very mysterious and make wine very specific. And what winds up happening is somebody that doesn't know wine very well goes to a restaurant, they don't understand it, they get uncomfortable, and they don't order it. And what we recommend to people is forget all of that stuff. Drink what you like.
Yeah, because a lot of people I know feel that all these wine classifications and the rigmarole that goes along with checking it out.
The elitism of wine.
It's all just a whole bunch of arbitrary constructs set up to separate the bourgeois from the proletariat.
Right. I would agree 100%.
So would you recommend drinking the Elvis 1993 Cabernet, say, chilled?
I would recommend drinking it any way you would like it.
If you
want to put ice cubes in it, put ice cubes in it. If you want to drink it at room temperature, drink it at room temperature. If you want to drink it at 58 degrees, drink it at 58 degrees. Just do it the way you enjoy it.
What you're saying is you don't care why we buy your wine, even if it's just for the damn court. Just buy our wine.
Drink it with the zombies.
No, what I'm saying is...
Hold on, Doug. Does it have a cork, or is it a screw cam?
No, it does have a cork.
All right.
What I'm trying to say is that I'm agreeing with you guys. There's been too much Drink mystery in this wine business, which we just don't simply agree with. I just think wine is something that's incredibly enjoyable. It's been around literally for thousands of years. And somehow...
Hey, you want to drink with these zombies over here?
You know, late 20th century, we in the wine industry have managed to make this a great mystery. And I think we're depriving a lot of people of the pleasure.
So you're on the marketing end of the wine business, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Do you think the Elvis thing is actually going to help you or hinder you? Do you think that... any wine aficionado will be able to take the vintage seriously when there's a picture of the king and Graceland on the cover?
Yeah, I do, but I think there's a lot of tendency not to do that, obviously. I think that most people that are in the wine industry will probably not take the wine all that seriously at first. And I think what has to happen for those people that are in the industry or are typical consumers of wine or people that consider themselves knowledgeable about wine, they're going to have to buy a bottle, they're going to have to try it, and they're going to have to go through the pleasant surprise that this really is a very good Cabernet. And I think once they discover that, then they're simply going to make a choice on the quality of the wine.
Do you think with increased consumption of Graceland wine, there might be an increase in Elvis sightings?
I think there could easily be. I think then anybody that looks at the label very closely is going to have an increase in Elvis sightings.
Was it have like a hologram on it?
No, it's actually got an image of Elvis that's in the background of the label. You don't see it; it's not obvious.
But is it a young Elvis or an old Elvis?
It's an old, or excuse me, a young Elvis.
Oh, it's a young virile Elvis as opposed to that hot, fat, sweaty Elvis.
You got it.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Paul Kursak.
Hey, guys.
CEO of Grand
Chris,
Selling.
Rob, thank you very much.
All right.
Have fun out there.
We'll look for that wine.
You bet.
Okay. Here's our address.
See ya.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
My mother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her, and she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is, like, really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour. And it hit into the road barriers. Her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it. And the other three boys were trapped in it. And the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do. Just get up here to the hospital. You know, I parked my car and I went inside. And they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed. I lost it. The other people, because they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know? So I don't want anything to do with it, because it took my brother away from me.
And now it's time to join Chris and Rob in the wacky world of telephone harassment for Celebrity Answering Machines, where Chris and Rob call one of your favorite celebrities, and if no one is home, they leave a message on today's Celebrity Answering Machine. So sit back, relax, kick up your feet, and pop open a cold one as we join Chris and Rob for Celebrity Answering Machine.
Yeah, it's Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're going to call Goober. His real name is George Lindsay.
So anyway, one of my friends who's in the radio business had to, he talked to Goober, and he taped an interview with Goober, but he didn't record it properly, and it didn't come out. So he had to call Goober, George Lindsay, back and re-record the interview. So he called George Goober Lindsay, like, 10 a.m., and George Goober Lindsay proceeded to tell my friend who's in the radio business, hey, you don't call a star before noon. He told my friend not to call that you shouldn't call stars before noon. So that's the words to live by, Chris. Never call a star before noon.
I'll remember that. What time is it now?
I don't know.
Just checking.
I hope it's not before noon.
Well, if they're on the West Coast, there might be a time difference.
You know, George Goober Lindsay is using the broad definition of the word star.
Is he?
Hello, and thanks for calling. No one's available to take your call right now, but if you'll leave your name and message, we'll get back to you just as soon as we can.
Hey, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
We're calling for George Lindsay, also known as Goober.
I was wondering if Wally could come out and look at my car. It's kind of making a funny noise, and perhaps he could check the tire pressure.
Okay, thanks, bye.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Celebrity Answering Machines. And make sure you tune in next time when Chris and Rob call another one of your favorite celebrities right here on the Chris and Rob Celebrity Answering Machine.
Oh, yes, Andy. Oh, yes, Andy. Oh, yes, we have enjoyed being part of tonight's Celebrity Answering Machine because I'm the biggest Andy Griffith fan you have ever seen. Me and Grandma sit around and watch it 24/7, 365, and since I was a baby. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than Andy freaking Griffith, and Goober was my favorite character. I liked him the best. I even liked him better than the barber, and everybody likes Don Knotts, right? Even if he was a landlord for a couple of bimbos and a dude, I mean, you still loved him. At his worst, he was still brilliant. Don Knotts. But Goober was my favorite because I identified with him, you know? He's such a goober. Speaking of goobers, we're gonna take you out with some zombie music here.
Zombies.
What do you like best about zombies there, Jim?
It's really repetitive and it gets you in a really weird, zapped out trance state and you just kind of lose
gets you in the
sensation
mood.
Of everything
According
around
to,
you except
Sir
the
Sir Doctor,
zombie
it gets
music.
You in the mood. Tune in next week and every week for the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Coming to you live from the bottom of your dial, you can't go no lower than 88.3 FM.
Yeah.
Dr. Zombie.
I see the zombie.